right, good evening, everyone. As Lisa shared, my name is John Michael Becker. I've been living here in Korea for over 11 years now, doing orphanage work. I also serve as a lay pastor with New Philadelphia Church. And I love these Jeremiah prayer meetings because I am a lifer here in Korea. I have no plans to ever go back to America or to move elsewhere. My wife, Skye, and I, our heart and our desire is to stay in this peninsula, and that when North Korea opens up and the Lord sends us in, that we will go into that land and build orphanages for the many children there. These are visions and dreams that God has given to us so many times that my parents and other people have gotten these confirmations, and they're ready to do this work as well. And so this night, Jeremiah prayer meeting, when we pray for Korea, north and south, is really dear to my heart. I hope that you guys, your hearts will be stirred as well. Last year, if you were here, it was last January, 2016, I preached a message called Rest for Korea. Rest for Korea. And in it, I shared about that bali-bali culture, that hurry-hurry culture that's here in Korea, and about how President Chung-hee Park had a big part in that with his Seimar, with his work programs that he implemented, his new village programs that he implemented here in Korea. And for tonight's message, I'm going to share a little more history about Korea. And this is some history that I found that even a lot of native Koreans are unaware of. And it's going to be about the president who followed President Park and one of his important policies that he implemented, kind of, hidden early on, but now you can read about it all on the internet. And tonight's message is going to center around a verse. It's going to center around a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And we're going to get that up on the slides. And it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. I'm getting a little feedback, guys. If you could turn down the monitors, that'd be great. We are not unaware of his schemes. Another translation says, we are not ignorant of his schemes. We as a church, we're called to be aware of what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. We are not called to be zombies. We are not called to just walk around and totally ignore the injustices, not only the injustices the enemy is doing, but also the ways the enemy is trying to attack God's people and compromise God's people. We are called to be aware. We're not called to just walk with society. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to stand out in this land. And so tonight's message is going to uncover some of the schemes of the enemy, particularly here in Korea, both in the past and today. The title of tonight's message is The 3S Policy. The 3S Policy. How many people have heard of this policy, 3S Policy? Got a couple hands, All right, we're going to have some fun tonight. It's a fun one. Don't worry. All right. I think people get scared when I preach. I think it's going to be all intense. All right. It starts out a little intense. Let's start intense. President Chun Doo-hwan. So previous message was about President Chung-hee Park. He was almost like a ruling dictator. Military general took over for many, many, many years, far beyond his term, 1961 and 1979. And he was eventually assassinated. After he was assassinated, Korea didn't really have a clear leader. Someone else stepped up as the president, but a man by the name of Chun Doo-hwan, who was a military general, quickly began to scheme. He had some authority before, but at this time, right after the assassination, suddenly he began to seize all authority, basically making that step-in president a puppet head. And he began to turn things so much that that president stepped down, and in 1980, Chun Doo-hwan said, I'm the president. And he just stepped in. He wasn't elected. There was no democracy back then, 1980. No democracy back then. He just stepped in and said, I'm in control. And this man did a lot of horrible things here in Korea. He disbanded the National Assembly. He basically said, Congress, get out of here. No more Congress. I'm in control. He implemented martial law, made the military in control of the land. And this wasn't something that Korea really liked. He implemented a curfew. His martial law was so intense that in Gwangju, some university students began to protest against it. They weren't rebelling. They weren't pulling out weapons. They weren't doing anything ridiculous. They were merely protesting the government. But the fact that they would do that, Chun Doo-hwan put down an iron fist, the army rose up, and they massacred these protesters. Some say it was, you know, maybe 800. Others say 1,000, 2,000 students just massacred for protesting. These weren't evil protests. They were just saying this isn't right. What the government is doing is not right. Chun Doo-hwan even implemented labor camps. When we think of labor camps and prison camps, we think of North Korea. The reality is that they were also happening here in South Korea. Less than 37 years ago, they were happening in this land. A lot of bad stuff was happening. So Chun Doo-hwan, he wanted to become legitimate. So he said, we're going to hold an election. And he gathered the Electoral College, which was 2,525 representatives. And they made a vote for one candidate. And the vote came out to 2,524 voted for him. And one vote was counted invalid so that he wouldn't be compared to Kim Il-sung, the dictator to the north, who was always voted 100% at the democratic elections. Chun Doo-hwan, this guy was a schemer. Let's show a picture of him. Look at that schemer. Look at this guy. This guy was bad news. He was bad news. A lot of Koreans are not proud of this man. He ruled over Korea from 1980 to 1988. One of his schemes that was not well known at the time, but if you look back at history, which I will unfold for you today, was very clear. One of his schemes was the 3S policy. The 3S policy that he wanted to push throughout Korea. Now, what did these 3S's stand for? Sex, sports, and screens. Screens like TV screen. Sex, sports, and screens. President Chun wanted full control of Korea. He did not want any uprisings. He didn't want anyone speaking bad about the government. So in his mind, if I can get people to press their passions, their attention, their focus on other things than the government and justice, then I can do whatever I want. So if I can put out enough sex and enough sports and enough screens so that people start to become zombies and people start to get their passions wrapped up in other things, yeah, I have freedom. I can lead however I want. So let me share kind of how this was implemented. What happened in the first few years of Chun Doo-hwan's rule over Korea? Next slide. 1980. Color TV comes to Korea. Color TV had been in America as early as 1954. By the 70s, it was mainstream. But in Korea, Park Chung-hee, he didn't think that this was necessary for the people as they were pushing for the economy and as they were growing. But the moment Chun Doo-hwan, President Chun Doo-hwan, came to power, color TVs started to be sold across all of Korea. Now, it's one thing to have a TV, but you need something to be shown on the TV that will gather the masses, that will bring them in. Something that will evoke the passion of Korea. Next slide. These are IOC delegates of South Korea who are celebrating that Korea has gotten the Olympics. This was 1981. Chun Doo-hwan pushed for the Olympics, and they got it 1 year later. And the Seoul Olympics came in 1988. Getting the Olympics would allow President Chun Doo-hwan to implement all these sports, bring all these sports to Korea to prepare for the Olympics. Let's get into the passion and the heart of the Olympic Games. Now, who likes baseball? Who's been to a Korean baseball game, such as the Korean Baseball Organization here in Korea? Do you know when this was founded, the KBO? 1982. This next picture. There's the president throwing out the first pitch. President Chun Doo-hwan pushed for a Korean baseball organization here in Korea. Still very popular today. Now, who likes soccer? Now, I'm talking to a bunch of foreigners. You guys don't care about these sports that much. We want basketball. But if you're in Korea, you probably heard of the K-League, FC Seoul, these other teams. When did the K-League come to Korea? Next slide. 1983. President is loving sports. Okay, and this is actually an international match happening in 1984. Not only did he push for the K-League, which is a league here only in Korea, he also pushed for a lot more international matches, got Korea exposed more on an international stage. He was pushing sports heavy. There are a lot of other sports leagues that he also implemented, and also sports tournaments. Sports exploded during his presidency. Sports exploded during his presidency. This is just 35 years ago. These leagues are still well today. So now I've covered screens, and I've covered sports. The third S is sex. Told you guys it'd be a fun message. Under the regime, President Park Chung-hee, he outlawed pornography in videos, TV, movies. He was very strong. If any nudity was found in a movie, it would be censored immediately. They would be told to reshoot it, remove it from the movie. Porn could only be found through drawings or through magazines, all right, that were hidden in Korea. But after President Chun Doo-hwan came to power, everything changed. And suddenly movie directors and movie actors and actresses were being told, make erotic films. Make pornographic films. Now, I could not find many posters that could be posted at a prayer meeting from the 80s. This is one, though. I'll put up this one. This is Oudong. Okay, I don't know if you guys have heard of this one or not. This is, it's supposed to be a drama or a thriller, you know, these types of movies, but there was a lot of pornographic material put into these movies. One of the famous actors of Korea, Ahn Sung-gi, I think some of you guys have heard of him. He's known as the People's Actor. He was involved in a lot of these erotic movies in the 80s, including this one. He was one of the main actors in this movie. You see, rather than eliminating smut, any scenes in movies in the 80s that showed any type, not outright, but any type of criticism of the government, any type of protest in the movie, anything like that, they were all censored and told reshoot these scenes or remove these scenes from the movie. But nudity, gratuitous sex, they weren't censored. They were actually encouraged. This is good. And the smut took Korea by storm. An erotic thriller titled Between the Knees was the second most viewed film in 1984. Video rental stores became filled with Paragon Video or Red Videos. These are known as pornos or erotic thrillers. Prostitution and the sex industry also continued to grow under President Chun. Sex, sports, and screens. His 3S policy could be considered a success on his side, because he was able to end his presidential term in 1988 without any problems. And in fact, his friend became the president after him, someone that was close to him. But eventually, years later, his crimes would catch up to him. President Chun would be brought in front of court. He would be sent to prison and given the death sentence for his roles in the Gwangju massacre and in massive corruption schemes that he had held under his presidency. He was later pardoned from the death sentence. Let me read 2 Corinthians 2:11 for you guys again. It says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes. What was the purpose of the 3S policy? The purposes were to distract the people from the injustices in the government. It was to exhaust the people's passions on things other than truth and justice. Oh, I'm so passionate about sports. I'm so passionate about this drama on TV. I'm so passionate about these other things. Meaningless things. The enemy wants us to be numb. Numb to injustice. Numb to the wrongs in society. The enemy, next slide. He wants us distracted. He wants us having unhealthy passions. He wants us numb. Not feeling, not caring. I'm too busy. I'm too distracted. I'm too involved in this. I really enjoy this. This brings me so much fun. This is so great. Don't bother me with those things that make me feel bad. Don't bother me with those things that I should probably be aware of. God, I'm sorry. I don't really want time with you today because there's something so good on TV. I don't really feel you, God, because all I can think of is that actor. All I can think of is that sports figure. All I can think of is that video game. Enemy wants us distracted. He wants our passions on unhealthy things rather than God. Enemy wants us numb. So the 3S policy was supposed to have died after President Chun Doo-hwan ended his term. The other presidents, we don't know of them implementing these policies on Korea. But if you were to look at Korea today, you would say it's stronger today than it ever was before. Sex can be found anywhere in Korea. It's rampant on the internet. Talk of sex is becoming more and more loose, especially in other cultures, but even here in Korea today. Screens are everywhere, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. Sports have also filled society. Now, in Korea, soccer, the K-League, it's not as popular as the president wanted it to be. Baseball is pretty popular, but you want to know the sport that is taking this nation by storm? Let's put up the next slide. That is a crowd of stadium watching people play video games. All right, next. That is another crowded stadium of people watching people play video games. Esports is what it's called, esports. This is a huge industry in the world today. Very rich people are investing heavily into gamers. Gamers, and Korea is at the top of the game chain. Okay, they're known, the Samsung team, the SK team, these different teams are doing far better than the Chinese, than the Americans, than the Europeans, than these other groups. Esports are taking over. I've noticed there are more cable channels on esports now, I think almost more than regular sports. It's intense. Many young people and many adults are starting to become addicted to video games. Even some kids in the orphanage are there as a result of their parents becoming addicted to video games. Neglecting the kids, kids are put in the orphanage. A number of gamers now start to dress up like the video game characters. They're spending more on their video game characters than they are on their own clothes. That's one reality. Now, how about smartphones? Screens are everywhere now. You know, at concerts, they used to, like, hold up a lighter. Now, what do? Hold up your phones, everyone. May it, let it be bright, and let's fill the earth with the screens. So now these headlines are becoming more and more normal. You know, smartphones weren't around 10 years ago. iPhone came out less than 10 years ago. Android, less than 10 years ago. And when they first came out, it wasn't rampant. But now, almost everyone is using it, and already they're seeing it affect people's education development. People are using less and less words. More and more youth are becoming more comfortable texting or doing Facebook messages, which usually consist of just one Korean character. All right, that's all they do over and over and over, rather than having a real conversation. I've seen my kids' Facebook messages. Not much vocabulary there. I remember when I rode the subway in 2006. All right, and for those who have been in Korea, you know, lived here, you can probably remember those prehistoric days before smartphones. Back in 2006, where I would ride the subway and I would see some people talking to each other. Some people would listen to music. Some people would be reading books. I would see some people with flashcards studying. Some people sleeping, you know. And then other people just sitting there, smiling, daydreaming, looking off. And now when you ride the subway, almost everyone, including myself, looking at their smartphones. I mean, there's so much on here. There's so much to be distracted by on these smartphones. It's ridiculous. You got internet access, games, email, text messaging, news apps, and so much more. Just right in your hand, this bright screen, mesmerizing to the eyes. TVs, talking about big screens, they're becoming more and more real than reality. Ultra HD technology. I could take you guys to the Grand Canyon or to a starlit night in Alaska and show you beautiful stars or show you the Grand Canyon. And then I could take you to a local electronics store here in Korea and show you that same image that you saw with your own eyes. And you know which would be more mesmerizing? The TV. Why? Because the TV has these little lights that are enhancing the image and making it brighter and stronger to your eyes than real reality. My wife, Sky, is actually very sensitive to this. So when we go into stores and it's got this super ultra HD TV, she starts to get a headache. But you know, you guys are all a part of this too, at least those of you who have Instagram. Very few people today, when they take a picture, will actually put the true image up on the internet. No, there's filters, and there's all these little enhancements that they have to do so that that nice picture of the view that they're putting up is suddenly an amazing view. That's not reality. This is what's going on. Virtual reality is becoming sharper than true reality. Next slide. Many experts are predicting that virtual reality will be the next big thing. If you go back to America, if you visit a Best Buy, even here in Korea, Samsung has one of the leading virtual reality devices. It's sharp. It's clear. It's pretty good. And they're just starting with this. There is an app on Google, I forget what it's called, but one of the Google apps for virtual reality where you will be walking on a skyscraper on top. And when you get to the ledge, because the image that's in this virtual reality screen is so sharp and so vivid to your body, even though you know you're in the store or you're in your living room, your body will freeze and you'll be unable to move because that image has now overwritten your brain. This is technology today, and this is just the beginning. All right, these are apps, and they haven't gotten this stuff perfect. I mean, when I put on those virtual reality things when I visit America and check it out, I find myself starting to get moved by it. Okay, but I still see little pixels, all right, in it. It's going to be so sharp that it's actually, when I look at that and see a picture of my wife, and then I take it off and I see my wife, this is going to be more vivid and more intense to my eyes. This is the reality today. Now, I've talked to some ministries, some NGOs and Christian ministries, and they say that they are using virtual reality technology. That now NGOs are going to their orphanages and their different places around the world, especially in Asia and Africa, and they're setting 360-degree virtual cameras into the classrooms and into specific places in the home so that donors in America can put on their virtual reality device and see in real time what is happening in the orphanage. Videographers are complaining about this because people are starting to prefer the real experience to those video reports of the missions field. This is reality. There are 360-degree cameras in orphanages in India and people around the world watching what's going on in these orphanages. Billionaire Chris Sacca. Okay, this guy, he was with Google. He invested heavily in Twitter. He's got a ton of money. He predicts that his children, who are 1, 3, and 4 years old, they will never learn how to drive a car. Self-driving car technology has been growing at an amazing rate. These are all the Google vehicles. After driving for 1.8 million miles, or 2.9 million kilometers, Google's self-driving cars have only had 13 accidents. And of those 13 accidents, none of them were the fault of the self-driving car. It's because some other driver rear-ended them. 1.8 million miles. Tesla CEO, these are other self-driving cars. Elon Musk, he said that this technology will become so advanced that lawmakers will be forced to debate whether or not to allow or outlaw manual driving. Lawmakers may make it illegal for humans to drive the car because the machines are so much more safe. All you have to do is get in the car, tell it the destination, sit back, and look at your smartphone. A lot of people do it anyway while they're driving. Artificial intelligence technology is now being used by many companies to decide what new workers to accept. Rather than receive a resume and interview the recipient, which is the old way of doing things, companies are now instead taking the resume and a personality test and feeding it into the AI. And then the AI is telling these executives who to accept for their company. More and more companies are starting to trust in AI rather than their own judgment. This is reality. This is happening here in Korea. I haven't even gotten to drones or to all the other amazing technology that's invading our homes and our communities. Some of these things like smartphones and nice HD TVs are becoming must-haves for a lot of people. It's now very rare to find someone without a smartphone in Korea. It's also very rare to find a household without a flat-screen HD TV here in Korea. While Koreans survived just fine without smartphones before 2008, now most people would argue it's almost impossible to live without a smartphone. Less than 10 years, most people today here in Korea would argue it is almost impossible, and for some it is impossible, to live without a smartphone. No more group text messaging, no more GPS for those who don't know directions, okay? Can't survive without my smartphone. My company will even fire me if I don't look at my group texts. Technology's invasion in our lives, it's coming at an amazing rate. Think just 10 years ago. For many years, people were concerned to put their credit card information online. Do any of you remember those days when it was like, you want my credit card? I can't trust you. Now, our banking information, our bank accounts, you know, everything. I do automatic payments on my smartphone all the time. Everything. All your photos, all your videos, all your personal emails, you've just entrusted them to Facebook, to Google. Your location, where you are today, Google Maps, they know where you are. It's okay, I gotta have it. This is the reality of today. And most of us, when I bring it up, it's like, oh, that sounds a little crazy, but it is nice, it is convenient. And I'll admit myself, it's pretty convenient. So are sex, sports, and screens, are these things inherently evil? Should we be throwing away all our smartphones and going back and living like the Amish? No technology. No, that's not the way we're supposed to live. Sex, sports, and screens are not evil. But if we allow them to distract us, to consume our passion, and to numb us to loving those around us, then we've allowed them to become an idol in our lives. See, understand, food is good. Gluttony is evil. Sex is good. Immorality is evil. Anything in excess or addiction has become evil to the person consuming it. In Revelation 13, we read about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And verses 16 and 17 speak of one of the schemes of the false prophet against all mankind. Put it up there. It says, he has also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. What if the mark of the beast was something so amazing, everyone had to have it? When the iPhone came out, not that many people were that interested. They were curious, but kind of at a distance. That's really expensive to pay for a phone. But as they started to see the little features on this iPhone, as they started to see all the different applications and all these different things, oh, I can monitor my sleep. Someone can know how I'm sleeping out there, you know. It can monitor how many steps I'm taking and where I am and all these things. More and more people became interested in the iPhone. And like I said, now today, almost everyone has a smartphone. You gotta have it. Games are going to become even more intense. Virtual reality is going to become even more crisp. Self-driving cars are going to become more and more of a luxury, and soon it's going to become mainstream. Just 20 years ago, people were using dial-up internet. Cell phones were barely even known of 20 years ago. Think about that. Now imagine the next 20 years, what's to come? Technology is increasing at a ridiculous rate. And if we keep our head in the sand, if we just keep walking with society and just pretending everything's okay, soon, just like Chun Doo-hwan's 3S policy, we might see that pornographic, that erotic thriller in 1982 and be like, oh, that's horrible. And then in 1983, we see another and it's getting great reviews. Well, I don't think we should watch that. And then in 1984, another comes out, and now almost everyone in Korea has seen it. Yeah, maybe I'll watch it too. I want to be relatable, you know, to my brothers and sisters. I want to know what's going on. Little do you know, you're getting sucked in more and more. We have to be aware. Revelation 13:18 says, this calls for wisdom. We're not called to forsake everything and live as hermits. We're called to be salt and light. But how do we be salt and light? We need wisdom. We must be aware, not ignorant, of the schemes of the enemy, and we must know how to combat his schemes. So how do we do this? How do we keep clean from the traps of sex, sports, and screens, and all these other temptations? First, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to keep ourselves sensitive to him. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Second, we must cling to the Word of God. We must hold to his truth in order to set others free and for our own lives to walk in freedom. Psalm 119, verse 9. This isn't just about sexual purity. This is about purity of your mind. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. We have to keep connected to God. We have to keep connected to God. If you are finding yourself during the day, I'm going to take some time to listen to God, and you're hearing absolutely nothing. And in fact, when you try and listen, all you're thinking about is that TV show or that song or, you know, that game that's going on or some other temptation. You got to cleanse your mind. You got to wake up. Because if you keep going that path, sooner or later, you're going to be like those lepers who lost all their senses and were completely numb. That was the disease for the people in the time of Jesus' day. Today, it's not now a physical leprosy. It's a leprosy of our emotions and of our spirit, becoming numb, becoming unclean, our body just falling apart. We have to keep sensitive to him. We have to pray. It sounds so simple, and it is. We're in relationship with God. We have to treasure this relationship. And even if we say, oh, our passions are for something good, like serving the orphans, or serving the victims of sex trafficking, or serving North Korean defectors, I don't care what your intentions are in this world. If you are not connected to the vine, if you are not abiding in him, your works are worthless. It's nothing. Jesus himself said this in John 15. If you abide in me, you'll be fruitful. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And I've seen some of the most zealous people for their hearts, for the freedom of North Korea, their hearts for the orphan. And they get so involved and so passionate in this that their passion isn't on God. It's actually on this work. And what happens is they start to lose sight of the Lord. They start to lose his love. They start to even become snappy or tough. Many of them have moral failures. I don't care what your passion is, whether it's sex, sports, screens, or justice. Your number one passion has to be God. Your number one passion has to be our Lord and our Savior. We love because he first loved us. If we're not receiving his love, what do we have to give? Who are we? Are we salt and light? We're only salt and light if we're reflecting him, if we're speaking to him, if we're reading his word and getting into his heart. Church, don't forsake sports or screens from this message. It's not the point of this message. Sex is not an evil thing. Immorality is evil. Sex is not an evil thing. It's a beautiful thing in marriage. It's a beautiful thing. We can't let the enemy begin to twist those things. It's not that. It's the addiction. It's it consuming us that we have to be aware of. I'm going to lead us in some prayer topics. I'll invite the praise team up. And we'll actually go to the next slide. We're going to pray for the church first. I want us to have us pray for the church, and then we're going to pray for Korea regarding the 3S policy. It's very rare that a scheme of the enemy, like the 3S policy, is made known. It's very rare that you hear these things. But I need you guys to know, the devil's been scheming from the beginning of time. And the 3S policy wasn't his only idea. It wasn't that, and oh, you know, I failed, and so I'm moving on. No, he has many schemes. And if we're not sensitive to the Lord, we're not going to see it. And we're going to get more and more consumed by the technology, more and more consumed by the ways of this world and the message of this world and the skewed views on sexuality, the skewed views on our value as humans, the skewed views that are getting out there in society today. We're going to get swept up in it if we're not walking according to the Holy Spirit. We have to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to be feeling Him, walking in close obedience to Him, hearing His voice, talking to Him, telling Him how we feel. We're not here just to be workers. We're here to have a relationship with Him. That's what God wants the most. And it's as we're in relationship with Him that we're able to hear His heart and we're told mysteries. We're told mysteries, secrets that He wants us to know. And church, we got to walk according to the Word of God in complete purity. It's only by the Word that we can truly walk in purity. This is His Word, His truth that He's given to us. And for me, when I put all this effort in a sermon or in a blog post or something, and someone later comes up to me and says, hey, I listened to what you shared and I applied it and it's blessing me, I get so encouraged. Why? Because I put effort into this. I tried for this. I wanted to bless you guys. I wanted to stir up the church. But then I think about every time I open my Bible, this is the greatest treasure God's given me other than His Son. This is His Word. More than some sermon from some person, this is hearing from God. Now I wonder how God feels every time I open the Bible. Oh, He's treasuring my Word. All that I've poured out, all that I've spoken, He's looking upon it. He's asking me to reveal the mysteries in this Word. He's asking me for wisdom. This blesses the heart of God. This keeps you connected. We're called to be citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth. It's by His Spirit and by His Word we're able to walk as citizens of heaven. So I want us to pray. I want us to pray for the church, for yourself, if this convicts you. Pray for the church as a whole, for the Korean church, for the church you're attending. Pray that we may be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Pray that we'll walk according to the Word of God. And pray that we'll be a people yearning for heaven more than this earth, that more than the gadgets, more than the technology, more than the distractions and the passions of this earth, we'll yearn for God more. We'll yearn for His presence more. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray.